Kiddos, come on up. Gee, it's been a while since I've said that. And as they do, a quick announcement. Miss Esther said to me that on Friday night, there is a free concert at Faith Baptist Church, 7 p.m. out near the airport, in case you're interested in that. All right. You know what? First of all, would you guys help me sing a song? So come around close. Come around close. Come around close. Got to help me sing Happy Birthday to Mr. Bernie. Do you guys know Mr. Bernie?
No.
Mr. Bernie, would you please stand up? He turned 80 yesterday, and I made a mistake in the email that I sent around to you. He was born in 36, so happy 80th birthday, Bernie. Also, it was Mr. Sam's birthday. Is Mr. Sam back there somewhere? Is he back there? Oh, he is back there. We're going to sing happy birthday to Mr. Sam because he turned half Bernie's age on, I think it was Thursday or Friday. He turned 40 on Thursday or Friday. And then Emma Joy's birthday is tomorrow. Is that correct? Yeah, and so does she turn some... Oh, how old are you going to be?
Six.
Six, so divide 80 by 6 or 40 by 6 doesn't quite work. But so let's sing happy birthday, and when we get to happy birthday, dear somebody, we'll say happy birthday, God loves you. You ready? Wait, what's that? God loves you. Let's sing God loves you. Good job. Good singing. You sounded like an entire choir. So here's a question for you. You know, a lot of times we hear somebody teaching the Bible. You know, the preacher's up there preaching, or somebody in Sunday school is teaching the Bible. So I'm looking for reasons why we should listen. Why should we listen when somebody's teaching the Bible? Because...
It's pleasing to God.
It's pleasing to God. Very good. That's a good answer. It's pleasing to God when we listen. It's also unpleasing to God when we don't. That's true. Why else? Why should we listen when the Bible's being taught? What do you think?
Because so that we can learn.
Very good. So that we can learn. If we're not listening, we're probably not learning. And God wants to teach us things. Why else should we listen? What do you think? Why should we listen when somebody's teaching the Bible?
Because so we could learn about the Bible and learn more about God, and so we don't have to spread sin.
Okay, good. Keep us from sin. That's a great answer. Very good. Keep us from sin. I'm going to give... Oh, you got one?
That's because we love God.
Because we love God. Very good. And because He loves us, too. Nice job. I'm going to give you four answers. I want you to memorize them. From, to, for, about. From, to, for, about. From, to, for, about. Ready? From, to, for, about. We should listen because it's from God. The word of the Bible is from God. Right? That's God speaking to us. To. It's God speaking to us. Even though God wrote the Bible like to Israel and to the churches back then, it's the way that God speaks to us today. So from, to, for. It's for our own good. God speaks to us in the Bible, and it's for our own blessing. He wants things to go well with you. But in order for that to happen, He wants us to walk in His ways. So from, to, for, and about, the Bible is about things that really matter. You know, TV shows and news and a lot of books, they're about things that they don't matter as much. But when God speaks to us in the Bible for our own good, He's talking about things that matter. All right? So you can remember that. Because of who it's from, because of who it's to, because of what it's for, and because of what it's about. Let's pray. All right? Father God, we thank You for Your Word. We pray that all of us would become good listeners of Your Word. I pray that the children would listen in the children's church this morning, and that everyone here in church would listen to Your Word from 1 Thessalonians. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Off you go, guys. Good job. Well, take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open them to 1 Thessalonians. We begin today a verse-by-verse study into this great letter that Paul wrote originally to the church in Thessalonica. But if you haven't guessed, it's from God to us for our blessing and our good. And it's about things that matter. And that really is the outline for this morning. So we've taken quite a bit of time for prayer requests and visiting and children. And we've got communion service. So this will be a very brief message just on the first verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, the title of the message is, Why 1 Thessalonians? Why 1 Thess? Why are we going to study this letter verse by verse? And the answer is, because of who it's from, because of who it's to, because of what it's for, and because of what it's about. Very good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, also known as Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the very first verse, we are being given reasons for why we ought to listen to this letter. The Apostle Paul and his associates, Silvanus or Silas and Timothy, they began their letter to the church in the usual way, identifying who it's from, who it's to, and what it's ultimately for, and also hinting at what it's about. And the reason, and actually Paul does this in every letter, the reason Paul in every letter is giving reasons why to listen to it is because he wanted those letters read and he wanted people to hear them. Turn to the last verse, or the second to last verse in this letter. 1 Thessalonians 5:27. Paul says, I charge you, that's like putting them under the oath, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Paul wanted that this letter be not just read, but that it be read aloud and probably on in various circumstances so that the church would come to know this letter well. So, in the first verse, he is identifying who it's from, who it's to, what it's for, and what it's about. Let's look. And these, each one of these is a reason for us to study the letter. So who's it from? Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. That's who it's from. But who were they? Paul, as you know from his letters, was an apostle of Jesus Christ. In all the New Testament letters up until this one, that's what he says. Romans 1:1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, a called apostle, separated for the gospel of God. 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ to the will of God. 2 Corinthians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and so forth. Every New Testament letter by Paul up until this one, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So it's from Paul, but ultimately it's from whom? Jesus Christ. It's from the Lord. The only reason he doesn't mention here that he was an apostle is probably because his apostleship was not being called into question by the church at Thessalonica. I hope and I trust that we also are not calling into question Paul's apostleship. We should know that a letter written by the Apostle Paul is a letter from Jesus Christ. Who was Silvanus or Silas? He was a prophet of God, Acts 15:32 says. And when Paul set out on his second missionary journey, which is the missionary journey in which he established the church at Thessalonica, he had chosen Silas to go with him. So Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Silas was a prophet of Jesus Christ. Who's Timothy? Timothy was a servant of Jesus Christ. When Paul and Silas set out on the second missionary journey, Acts 15:40, they went through Derbe and Lystra, and the Bible says, behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. Timothy was a young man who was well spoken of by all the brethren. By the way, that is a good thing to be. It is a good thing for you to be someone who is well spoken of by everyone else in the church. How do you get such a reputation? You know what? You get such a reputation by showing up, by serving Christ, by loving other people, by establishing relationships with others, till it gets to the point where, you know what? Everybody has good things to say about you. That is a very good thing to be. And when that happens, you know what else happens? Opportunities for ministry come arriving at your doorstep. So when Paul and Silas showed up in Derbe and Lystra, and they hear that this young Timothy is somebody who loves the brethren, loves the Lord, loves the church, loves people, has good relationships, Paul says, I want that guy with me on my missionary journey. And Paul and Silas picked up Timothy, and the three of them went forward. And Acts 17 says they came to a city called Thessalonica. What do we know about Thessalonica? Well, let me ask you if you hear any parallels. 100 to 200,000 people were 100,000. along a major route, a route upon which people traveled, and they would kind of stop in at Thessalonica. So they're on a major travel route, not a giant city, but a good-sized city, and a city where there were many people who were pagans. Any parallel to Pueblo? Thessalonica was a city along a travel route known for its location along the Ignatian Way, which was the main travel route from Rome to the east. And when they came to that city, Paul's first opportunity was always in synagogues. And he went into the synagogue there, Acts 17 says, and as his custom was, he began to preach Christ, reasoning from the scriptures. No doubt he took them to Old Testament scriptures to show Jesus is the promised Messiah. Later, after they established the church there, after he preached, by the way, many believed, praise God, that was the start of the church. They left there. Later, Paul knew that they were suffering in Thessalonica because they had chosen to follow Christ and they had chosen to follow the ways of Paul. So he sent Timothy back. He said, Timothy, I want you to go back to the church there in Thessalonica. I want you to see how they're doing. Timothy came back with a good report, which we'll read about when we get to chapter 3. He says, Timothy came back and gave us a good report, so we're rejoicing. And this letter is a response to the good report from Timothy. Timothy apparently came back not only with a good report, but with some questions from the church in Thessalonica. And this letter says, I want to encourage you. We've heard you're doing well, but we want to encourage you to excel still more. And we understand you have some questions, and this letter answers those questions. So who's it from? Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. But ultimately, it's from the apostle of Jesus Christ, a prophet of Jesus Christ, and a servant of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, this letter is from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a truth that all true believers hold dear. Every letter in the New Testament that we read from Paul or Peter or James or Jude is actually a letter from our Savior. It's actually a letter from the Lord Jesus Christ. To whom? To whom? Well, it says here, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, which at first glance might seem like a reason for us not to study it. It sounds like we're studying and reading someone else's mail. But Paul does not say to the church of the Thessalonians only. And that is because it was not to the church of the Thessalonians only. Paul wanted this letter read to all the brethren. Didn't matter where they were from, didn't matter who they were. He wanted his letters read, and he knew that what he was communicating was the Word of God. He says that, you'll see that in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He says, you receive from us our Word as it truly is, the Word of God. All right, this is the Word of God, this is the Word of Christ, to, first and foremost, the Church of the Thessalonians, notice, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a very important preposition. Every word of God is pure. This is to the church of those people from Thessalonica who were in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is that talking about? What is that talking about? That is a reminder of what Jesus had said back in John 14:21. He said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our abode in him. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would reside in believers, and believers would abide in Christ and in the Father. In other words, there would be an intimate, permanent spiritual union between believers in Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Son. That's what he's talking about here. Paul says, here's a letter. It's to the church, the assembly of called out people. This is to the assembly of Thessalonians who had been called out of the world, called out of serving idols to serve the living and true God, which he says later in chapter 1. This is to the assembly of called out people who are in a permanent spiritual union with God the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. But what do you think? Was it only to them? Was it only for them? What does Paul say elsewhere? Romans 15:4. He says, whatever was written in earlier times was written for us, for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And as I said, Paul later says in this letter, he's communicating the Word of God. This is from Christ to us. It's to the church. It's to believers. It's to us. This is another truth that all true believers hold dear. That every time we come to a letter in the New Testament, really everywhere in the Bible, this is from God and it's to us. It's for us. And what's it for? Why does God speak to us in His Word? Notice what he says. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is expressing here the desired blessings that he had for the church. Grace is what? Undeserved favor. We've all memorized that, right? Unmerited favor, undeserved favor, unmerited blessing. How many of you like that? Yeah. And how many of you find that you need it more and more? I do. Grace is something that not only did we need when we were saved, but we need it now every day because we still stumble in many ways. And Paul is saying, essentially, my desire for you with this letter is grace. I want you to enjoy undeserved favor, unmerited favor, undeserved blessing. And the source of that blessing is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only is that my desire for you, but peace. Shalom is the Old Testament word. I desire peace for you. What is that? It is a specific undeserved blessing that is not only the lack of external and internal turmoil, but it is a joy and contentment that comes in knowing God. All right? Shalom was a very broad term in the Old Testament. It was not just lack of war. You know, we think of peace as the opposite of external war. It's more than that. It is the blessing of joy and contentment in knowing God, in knowing the God who is sovereign over all of our circumstances, in knowing that we can rest in Him. Okay? It is a very specific, unmerited favor from God. But when Paul says, grace to you and peace, he's not only expressing the blessings he desired for the church, he's expressing the purpose of the letter. This letter is to bring about in your life grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the goal. It is to these two ends that the letter was written, so that we might enjoy grace and peace. And it is to these two ends that there are five chapters. All five chapters serve to the ultimate end that we who believe in Christ would enjoy grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's with these in mind that the Spirit in chapter 1 encourages concerning the past. In chapters 2 and 3, He exhorts how to live in the present. And in chapters 4 and 5, He explains concerning the future. You could sum up the whole letter with those three words: encouragement, exhortation, and explanation. Encouragement is in chapter 1, and in essence, the encouragement is, you know what? You are an exemplary church. The exhortation in chapters 2 and 3 is, but you need to excel still more. And the explanation in chapters 4 and 5 is, the day of the Lord hasn't come yet, but Jesus Christ is coming. That is a summation of 1 Thessalonians. And that is what it's about. Okay, what is this letter about? It is about, praise God, you are an exemplary church, but you know what? We need to excel still more, and we need to keep our minds and our eyes on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that does not begin to scratch the surface of all the contents, but that's roughly what it is about. So why 1 Thessalonians? Why are we going to take probably the next year and study verse by verse through this great letter? Because of who it's from. This is from God. Because of whom it's to. It is to us who believe in Christ. Because of what it's for. It is for the blessings of grace and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. And because of what it's about. And it's about Christ, it's about God, but it is about the church. And I did pick this letter because I think there is quite a bit of a parallel between them and us. I see you all as an example. I think that by the grace of God, to a certain degree, we are an example in certain things. But I think we can excel still more. And if I have one desire for you as a church, it is what Paul's desire was for the church at Thessalonica, that through this letter, as we understand what God says here, and as we put it to practice in our life, my desire for you is that you would excel still more in purity and in love. In those two things, in greater and greater purity in Christ and in greater and greater love for Him and for one another. So let me be very practical. It's almost the new year. Time when some people make New Year's resolutions. Maybe you don't make them, but I hope you'll make an exception. I want to ask you to consider making a New Year's resolution, which probably you have no trouble making. I would like to encourage you to make Sunday morning church a priority in your life. To me, that's a no-brainer. And yet, on any given Sunday, you look around and quite a few people aren't here on any given Sunday, and sometimes you follow up and you find out, oh yeah, I just didn't come that day. Obviously, we can't come when we're sick. Obviously, you can't come when we're bedridden or don't have any energy. Probably can't come if we worked all night the night before and there's no energy left. I can't come when we're traveling. I realize. Hey, I haven't been here for 3 weeks. Right? I realize there are times when we can't come. But I want to encourage you, try to make the study of 1 Thessalonians a priority in your life in 2017. If you can't come for whatever reason, you know what? Most times we get the sermon up on the internet. Try to listen to it. And try to set, you know what? By the end of 2017, I want to know 1 Thessalonians. I mean, that's one of my goals. By the end of 2017, I want to know this letter well. And my commitment to you is I'm going to spend 15 to 20 hours every week studying it before I show up on Sunday morning so that I can make sure that what I give you is the truth, that it's sound doctrine, that it's solid, that it's deep. So pray for me, if you would also, that my New Year's resolution will stand. I'm going to devote to studying this letter. You devote to studying it with me. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and I pray that you would help us in the new year. Help us to go deep into 1 Thessalonians. Help us to understand it well. And I pray, Father, that as we study it, we will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we will excel still more in purity before you and in love for you and for one another. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.